Hello, this is James Grunvig with Decentralized.media on Unrestricted Warfare. I'm here with a good friend and a very specialist in rebalancing and healing the body in Sterling Hill. But first, you know, this is a crazy time of year. It's the first day of spring, and we know we got the April 8th coming as a big day with your solar eclipse. But then we're going to have a scare event of some kind because we're going to have a financial crash because all the banks are selling out. So let's go to the first video, and you're going to have to excuse this young woman's language, but she's passionate, and she's got a lot to say in a very short period of time, and I appreciate what she's doing.
Because when you see the emergency broadcast system, it basically just means that, like, the light has won, and, like, they have to present a final event that is going to not shock people, but is going to be so big that then they can start slowly revealing everything that has been. Because think about it. If you take an entire population who has been, like, so deeply programmed to how the world really functions, and then you just come in and you crumble their whole perspective of reality, it could create a fucking mess. First of all, people mad. Do you know how many people are going to be fucking frustrated when they realize that, like, they've just been paying empty taxes? It hasn't been going to anywhere. Their name isn't even real. Like, it goes so far as to how they created this slave system. A lot of people are going to be enraged when they realize this. So it could be chaotic. I'm not saying it's going to be like post-apocalyptic and like all this crazy shit. And if you have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about, basically, if you didn't know, there's like a bunch of evil shit that's been happening on the planet, and right now we're being liberated from that. I'm curious, have you been feeling an energetic shift? Because I feel like I'm not grieving the old world or the old way of living, but I'm definitely saying goodbye to it. It's as if I'm enjoying my last moments in this old way of being, because I know that once this transition starts, there's no going back.
Wow, I love that, Sterling. You and I have been talking about this before COVID, right? I mean, the whole vaccine industry, everything. We've known about this for a long time. But the fact that this is all coming to an end. And I've always looked at, Sterling, at the open borders as a third sting operation. I know that sounds insane, but I'll prove my point coming up. If you remember the beginning of the year, we had Jeffrey Epstein client list released on January 3rd. Magically, voila, out of nowhere, we have aliens in Miami Mall the next day to change the narrative, change the focus off Epstein and all those Johns that were pedophiles and sacrificing children to alien invasion in Miami, which was laughable, but it really changed the focus. So I expect this to happen. I expect a black swan event to crash. The minute that happens, you're going to have a 9/11 event from the black hats. Why? Because they got to distract from the great train robbery of the last 4 years. We're actually last half century. Then that event is going to trigger what? It's going to happen on a Friday. You're going to have people screaming up in arms that this is all happening, right? The media is going to blow it way out of proportion, but it's going to be a treasonous act, which forces Trump to come back into office, whether commander in chief or POTUS, the number 19 of the Republic. And that's going to, you know, set off a nuclear explosion on Trump derangement syndrome, and the politicians, the uniparty, right, the rhinos and Dems, and the media is going to ask for riots in all these cities. That's going to happen. When that happens, it is activates the military per the war of the law of war manual, and it's pretty much game over, in my opinion. So that's a little different than what she's saying. What she's saying is going to be a big event we all recognize. I agree with that. But we still got issues to deal with, and we need the economy to crash, right? Because that's the old Babylonian enslavement system. Without it, they're financially ruined. They can't bribe people anymore. And then we need Trump back to freak them out, because that's going to happen. And then we need the military activated, and that's when we take back control. What is your reaction to that 1.5 minute clip of a young lady?
Well, I know that they're getting ready to do something. I totally agree with you. They're losing. So they're, you know, we're calling them out on their, frankly, BS left and right.
Yeah.
And, can't get control of it. Now they want to censor alternative media because and say it's false news and try to take us out. Yeah, and so they're gonna try to do something big and cause some kind of chaos. And I totally agree with you. They're gonna lose. We're gonna win. It's gonna backfire like it's been backfiring for the past several years.
Yeah, no question. And like I said, I'm not gonna miss the old, I'm not gonna miss the old world either. We're gonna be freer than ever. Right? We're gonna get rid of all, we don't have to listen to, you know what I hate the most when you do watch mainstream media, you hear about Washington, D.C. every day. There's no reason to hear about these traitors, treasonous criminals every day. I'm sick and tired of it. I don't give a damn about the election coming up because I don't think it's gonna happen, number one, because when we have this event, there is going to be a shock. Yeah, she's talking about people are going to be enraged. Yeah, you're right. There's no five stages of grief. It's going to be a reckoning, right? I mean, we're born in these systems. Your parents didn't know, your grandparents know, your great-grandparents know. We're all been born into this you know, Babylonian matrix, and it's coming to an end. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's go to the second video. This is shorter. It's Bob Lazar talking about ETs. And that human beings are just containers. Containers of what? Well, Bob's going to tell us, and I kind of agree with this.
The thing is that there is an extremely classified document dealing with religion, and it's about that thick. Period. But why would there be any classified material dealing with religion?
I want to go back to the religion thing. I want you to say it.
It's so far out.
All right, your objection has been noted.
Okay.
What does it say?
That we're containers. That's how supposedly the aliens look at us. That we are nothing but containers.
Containers of?
Containers. Maybe containers of souls. You can come up with whatever theory you want, but we're containers. And that's how we're mentioned in the documents. That religion was specifically created so we have some rules and regulations for the sole purpose of not damaging the containers.
So are we containers, Sterling, our bodies, containing our souls, right? The flesh and the spirit. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, what I'm going to talk about today is our piezo gene. It makes us magnetic and electric. It's what people would call aura in New Age, and people would call biofield in science, and what people in religion would call your soul. It encapsulates your whole body. It runs this meat suit, and this piezo protein goes through your entire bloodstream, your bone marrow, your organs, everything, your skin. And it's what makes the hair stand up on your arms when you sense danger. And they've actually been harvesting it and stealing it. So, you know, I do think that they think of us as containers, but we are not containers. We are eternal beings, and we're just in an experience right now, in my opinion, and some type of lesson. And we've got to learn how to overcome this evil.
No, we're going to overcome the evil. And I think the adrenochrome angle, whether it's aliens drinking it or Hollywood celebrities drinking it you know, the trannies in Congress that are married to trannies, you know, all this stuff. I'm just going out there. I don't really care. I mean, we're going to find the truth, and truth, Jesus never promised the truth being pretty, ever. He didn't soften it. Nope, the truth will set us free. Well, this is the truth. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be insane because that's the world they've come from. And we're going to learn all about it. But let's get into the show, get into the PowerPoint deck, go through a couple of items, and then get into your talking points because they are very, very big.
Okay, you've got it where I can go ahead and share my screen.
No, I'm going to go through my PowerPoint, and then we'll get into yours. Rebalance the Biofield, episode 59 with Sterling Hill. Yours truly can find me 4 days a week on Unrestricted Warfare. Yes, Tracy L. White still doing Beyond the Bible. Continue to follow her. This is good news. I mean, we're just having spring cleaning. This is another person taking off the leadership stage in Ireland. Leo Varadkar. I guess he's not Irish. Doesn't sound like O'Hanley or O'Reilly to me. But he stepped down as Irish prime minister and party leader. So he's gone. So this is the White Hats taking away the King and Queen, taking away Rothschild, taking away Mitch McConnell. These people are all going away. I'm talking about the trannies. I'm talking about the globalists. I'm talking about the World Economic Forum. They're all being pulled off stage, and you just got to keep your eyes open because every time you see this, there is a connection. I have an entire file of resignations, another file for people that what supposedly went to Gitmo, and another one for people who are literally being removed off the chessboard, and this is part of it. Pope Francis denounces anti-vaxxers, calls COVID jab refusal an almost suicidal act. Well, that's really funny. He's not, that's not my religion. I believe in God and Jesus, but I don't believe in Catholicism, right? I don't believe in religion to control people, so sorry. Because what's interesting about what the Pope is, the Pope's not a medical doctor. So let's begin with there. So yet another rare outcome of COVID-19 vaccines. It may trigger something really strange I've never quite heard before. Parsonage Turner, not Ted Turner, Parsonage Turner syndrome, a condition that causes intense pain and muscle atrophy. Gee, wouldn't it be great? You're a top of the world professional athlete, ready for the Olympics. You get this disease and your muscles begin to atrophy as if you're 85, 90 years old. Wow. So this is another rare outcome of COVID vaccines. Sterling, you have any comment on yet another weird adverse event?
Well, I'm seeing all kinds of adverse events. These people who have been vaccinated, and they can name it what they want to name it.
Yep.
It's a suicide shot. I mean, people are standing up in pain. They're walking up to commit suicide, and they don't realize it. I mean, I'm like you when it comes to, I don't follow any certain religion, but I do believe, you know me personally, and I do
Yep.
believe in God and Jesus, and but I don't believe that. I believe the division of religions play a role in this, and it was their way to conquer and control people. And then, they go and tell the religious leaders, put them all on a White House call and tell them, oh, wear the mask, take the vaccines. They've got all the religious leaders, the majority of them. They have got them totally MK Ultra, in my opinion.
No, they got
And then,
definitely. Yep, MK Ultra. They got it fully controlled. No surprise if the Pope's a pedophile. To be honest with you, that's how you control people. That's one way to control people. He's a Satanist, in my opinion. Tough nuggies. I got a lot of Catholic friends. I'm not picking on the religion overall, the people that are Catholic, but I am picking on this Pope, and I'm picking on all the previous popes because it's an entirely made up religion. When you go back to history, going back to 300 AD. So he's talking about it's an act of suicide if you are against vaccines. And the reality is it's the opposite. It is a
opposite.
suicide shot. And I agree with you. So move on. Let's talk about another great human being. Bill Gates wants to cut down 100 billion trees, he said, about a month ago, to save the planet. Well, that's weird. Trees are the ultimate carbon capture. So why would you cut down trees? Oh, because Bill Gates is a Satan. Satanic evil man who actually wants to destroy God's seed, every living thing on earth. And I got a picture of Bill Gates with his very sad orangutan who's looking for his home, and his home been destroyed by people like Bill Gates. It's not the middle class or the poor people that are cutting out trees worldwide. It's corporations that are doing this. And the corporations want to vax you, and the corporations want to give you a poison food, and the corporations want you to join on to CBDCs, and the corporations want to fire like a Tyson Food want to fire the forced vaccinated workers from 3 years ago and replaced by unvaccinated illegal aliens today, illegal migrants. That's what they're doing, and it's totally insane. But this is the world we're living in, and we got to put our foot down. So yeah, we've been so programmed that this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. This isn't climate change. This is Bill Gates and corporations destroying the world and trying to blame it on the rest of us, and it's nonsense. Sterling, any comment?
Oh yeah, I mean the man's pure evil. Anything he does, believe opposite. He is working with dark beings and
Yep.
evil forces. And the man is sick. He's distorted. You cut down the trees. I mean, that's what makes us breathe. That's our oxygen. And the poor animals, look at them. They're going to probably all die out. And then they're going to blame the extinction of the animals on climate change, not Bill Gates cutting down all their trees.
And by the way, the carbon dioxide CO2 is only 0.04% of the gases in the world, in the air. Only 4.04%. Not even 1%, not even 0.5%, 0.04%. And yet we need it there. And we've had the greenest planet in a long, long time in the last 100 years. And yet they want to cut down trees in Sheffield, England. They want to cut down trees here. We've got to stop this evil. I'm talking about the fascism, the corporate fascism, the industrial fascism, and the government fascism in the West in particular. Let's get into today's topic. So let's talk about MTHFR. What does that stand for, Sterling?
Methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase. It's part of methylation. It's part of making glutathione, your folate in your B12, making glutathione. It's seven bodily processes in the body. This is step number seven to make the end result glutathione to detox out of the body. And you know that many of us are running low on glutathione with all the chemtrails and the poisons and the food being poisoned and everything else being poisoned.
Yep.
So.
I'm with you. And we're going to talk about the super patches today. I'm just showing the audience. We'll get into your deck in a minute. This is Sterling Harrell. You can find her, and I'll have this link in the show notes. But MTHFR support dot superpatch.com. I'll have it in the show notes so you can find the link there. And we're going to talk about this today. This is what you text me last night. So THZ, W band, piezoelectric, MU chips. I think we're going to start with the MU chips first, but let me read what you sent me. We have Braille technology that can rebalance your piezo protein, and you explain why that's important, which is your aura, biofield, soul, and piezo gene is what makes you magnetic and electric and regulates your ion channels. Take it away, Sterling.
Okay. This is a lot to go over, but to just simplify it, you have piezo-1 and you have piezo-2 genes, and they regulate your ion channels. Well, with all this positive ion coming in from, your smart meters, your Wi-Fi, your routers, your 5G, I can go on and on and on. And then we have from the smart dust and from our food and water, these mood chips in our body. And if you look at a little grain of salt, these mood chips are 14 times smaller,
Wow.
and you can inhale them through smart dust. They're all over your skin right now, all through your house, everywhere. But what they do is they take the gigahertz frequency, now that they have the graphene oxide in you, and 98% of us have graphene oxide in us, and the gigahertz frequency jumps onto the graphene, which oxidizes once it makes the body, and then it amplifies into a terahertz, an even small millimeter wave that can be very dangerous, and it grabs your piezo protein that makes your aura, your biofield that prevents, disease and bad things from coming in. It also encapsulates your whole body, but they steal that. They're basically stealing what makes you electric and magnetic. You're operating on a battery right now. You're your own generated battery, and they're stealing that, and people are getting really sick. So we ran across these in 2021. We saw that Nobel Prize was won on piezo technology, where they could literally take Braille, put on your skin, and rebalance that piezo protein to rebalance your biofield, and also then to regulate your things like your calcium and your sodium ion channels, which we know for a fact, which we know for a fact that sorry, I have somebody knocking at my door, come disturb me. We know for a fact that the 5G is literally stealing all of our piezo protein, and we can rebalance it. And it also grabs and disrupts your calcium and sodium ion channels. That's why we're seeing a lot of this insanity where they can take over these people and make them believe what they want to believe on the news and stuff. I mean, they can control them with these mood chips in the body now.
It makes so the program has not they've been programmed, ever since the 60s with television. Let's just start there, right? And that's been going on, and everything's been in operation. So I'll give you another one. JFK assassinated in on November 20, 22, 1963. 3 weeks later, the Beatles' first hit in the United States rushed out. So at the end of the day, the Beatles, hate to say this for you people, get over it, is a CIA operation, was a CIA operation. So was a lot of other things. And this is how they've been working. They've been programming us through music, through everything, through television, arts, all of it. And now they're out front grooming kids in schools, right? So it's kind of amazing. Sterling, you got the floor. You can do your PowerPoint now if you like. I've given a shared screen. And
Okay.
let's dive into this, because I want to learn more about the super patch and rebalancing my biofield, because I'm sure I need it.
Okay. All right, do you see my screen yet?
Not yet.
All right, it says it's loading. Do you see it now?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Let me close it out and go back to Zoom. All right. Let me
Yeah, no problem.
see. Screen share. Okay. Show caption screen share. Okay.
You
All right.
should
All right.
go
Now
go
I
into
got it.
it. All right. There we go.
All right, I got it now. All right. Yeah. All right. Live show. Okay, so I'm just going to go through these kind of fast, and I'm going to skip over a few because many have videos in them, and I know we have a short amount of time.
Yep.
But so I already explained to you that your piezo-1 is your bioelectric field, and EMF can really do damage to it.
Understood.
And we do have medical disclaimer. You know,
Yep.
in light of the foregoing, you understand and agree that we are not liable, nor do we assume any liability for any information contained within the slideshow and presentation, as well as your reliance on it. In no event shall we be liable for direct or indirect consequential, special, exemplary, or other damages related to your use of the information contained within the slideshow. So it's already in you, okay? The
Yep.
nanotechnology. So anybody that wants my slideshow, they're more than welcome to email me at private, private at mthfr support, support.com. And they can go more into these because I have actual peer-reviewed documentation. So, you know, looking at nano, it is referred to a Greek prefix meaning dwarf or something very small that depicts 1,000 millionth of a meter. Nanoscience is the convergence of physics, materials science, and biology, which deal with manipulation of materials at an atomic and molecular scales. While nanotechnology is the ability to observe, measure, and manipulate a symbol. Control and manufacture matter at the nanometer scale. In 2018, the budget for NNI was $1.2 billion to support nanoscience, engineering, and technology. Okay, so they were given $1.2 billion. That's the money we see. They're telling us they probably have taken more money to do this.
Of course.
A reality check for DNA and nanotechnology, mapping a 3D object with sub nanometer detail. Nanotechnology has been being used since the 1950s, and it is now fused into your DNA. I don't know if you remember the time before when we talked, I shared a CIA document with you showing in 1954 that they were using 5G millimeter waves and nanotechnology on. Mice and rats, and probably human subjects we don't know about. So I'm gonna Go to the next slide. So nanotechnology is already fused into your DNA, like in the days of Noah. Here we are again. Okay, this is what they were doing in the days of Noah. What? They were manipulating DNA. And DNA nanotechnology is a field that involves designing and manufacturing artificial nucleic acid structures for technological uses. Researchers in this field have created static structures such as two and three-dimensional crystal lattices, nanotubes, polyhedras, and arbitrary shapes in functional devices such as molecular machines and DNA computers. One of the most fascinating aspects of DNA nanotechnology is the ability to form artificial and design nanostructures out of nucleic acids. These structures can be used for various applications, such as molecular scale electronics and nanomedicine. Do you hear that? Okay, because they are going to replace our doctors. Okay, these are going to be called biomedical engineers, and they're going to replace most of the doctors. This is what they plan on doing, but we're not going to allow this to
Now,
happen.
this is so
And I.
does this relate to artificial intelligence? Is that you're replacing a lot of
Oh,
workers with
yes.
AI? So go on.
Totally relates to artificial intelligence and actually controlling the whole human brain. Because when I look at the left side, I see people who are totally already controlled. I mean, you could put the truth right out in front of them and they're going to be like, no, it's a lie because CNN tells me it's a lie.
Yeah, and that's going back to the young woman's video at the top of the show. We need an event to wake up everybody, that is for sure. But not everyone's going to wake up, but most people will. Go ahead.
Yeah. So smart dust sensor network is with the with piezoelectric energy harvesting. So this is your proteins, your genes, and they actually literally sit in the nerve receptors of your skin cells, okay?
Yeah.
And make this big magnetic electric ball around you. I call it soul. But the piezoelectric materials can be used to convert mechanical energy, such as vibration, into electrical energy, which can be used to power up devices in a smart dust sensing network. Okay, these are actual scientists telling you about this. I can go to minute 14 and show you what this man says because it's pretty scary, if you don't mind me
Yeah, go
playing
ahead. No,
this one.
please do. Please do. We got time.
All right, let me make sure my sound is working. Yeah, share sound. Let me double check again, see if sound is shared. All right, just let me know if you hear it. I'm going to move it to minute 14.
To make computing power and sensing available to individuals, or whether the network architectures will centralize command and control into a few hands, the only real question is who will have access to sensors, the computing power, and to the data that is generated. Personally, for one, I don't want a world where the Google Smart Dust and the Microsoft Smart Dust are having a battle for my temperature reading on my skin.
Wow.
The diffusion of computing into the environment will mean not just the computing is always available, but also the computing offers the possibilities of continuous monitoring and surveillance. This is the promise of the IoT. It's the threat of the IoT. And we have to think carefully about the architectures we're putting together for these sort of things now, because we will go there no matter what we decide, one way or the other. And we had the first tenuous glimpse of this reaction to that when Google bought Nest, and people started to panic about their data and privacy. I'm not quite sure why it took Google buying Nest when Nest was not collecting any more data than they were before, but that's what it took. Of course, I could be wrong. Yesterday's next big thing was the World Wide Web. And I vividly remember standing in a very drafty computing lab more than 20 years ago now, looking over someone's shoulder as they downloaded the very first build of Nazca Mosaic via some torturous method I'm not going to go into. I shook my head and said, "It'll never catch on. Who wants images anyway?" And to be fair, I was a lot younger back then. We all were. And I was failing to grasp history because I was neither well-read enough nor old enough to have seen it all before. And since I don't claim to either be well-read enough or old enough to have seen it all before this time, possibly you should take everything I'm saying with a pinch of salt. But saying that, about a year ago, I came across a rather beautiful series of French and German postcards from the early 1900s, predicting what things would be like in the year 2000s. They almost got it right. This is one of the French cards predicting the Roomba. That's pretty good going. That's 100 years of technological development they managed to predict. This is a German postcard from the...
I'm going to go to 1730.
Computing is evolving constantly. Mainframes to desktops, to laptops, to cell phones, to your bloodstream, to literally blowing in the wind around you. And I guess the takeaway from this talk is that the things we're building now, today, and talking about here at MakerCon and the other conferences are basic building blocks, blueprints, if you like. Essentially forerunners of the smart dust we're going to be living with 10 or 20 or maybe a bit longer down the road. And the architectural choices we're making today to build the Internet of Things are fundamentally going to affect the way those endpoint devices, the mature technology, looks. And I'm scared about the way we're making some of those architectural choices about the Internet of Things. So if you're a startup building Internet of Things things, or if you're a bigger corporation, if you are one of those huge consolidated conglomerates of huge corporations, sit back, think about the sort of world you want to live in, because the choices you're making are going to change the world. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, the Internet of Things people, and I include myself here because I do a bunch of Internet of Things things, aren't making good choices. But again, that's a whole nother talk. So I want you to think about the kinds of information we approximate, guess at, or determine by polling and sampling, and then making a calculation. In the future, we won't have to calculate things. We can just measure them because the sensors will be everywhere. And if you can measure something, you can change it. And very soon you'll be able to change just about everything. Thank you.
That's pretty powerful, James. Do you have any questions about that one?
No, basically, can you imagine, as he said, the microdust, smart dust, and Google smart dust fighting over our body to read temperature. That's just one little example. Or going inside us, like, you know, we're going to get surveilled beyond, you know, security cameras, LED lights, and all of that. This is totally insane where we're going. And I really, the only way to end this is to arrest the executives behind this and to financially bankrupt the entire world, right? You got to bring the entire world down to its knees financially and come up with a new system in which the banks can no longer print money out of thin air. We no longer have central banks and people take control of the money. Because when money goes away, then the trillionaires and billionaires will not be able to control the world like they used to. This is the only way to save us, really. Because technology won't be built like this anymore. And a lot of us people will demand transparency in any technology like this. That's what I believe, Sterling.
Yeah, you're totally right. Totally right, James.
Talking to us today. Please welcome Alistair.
Let me try to get to the next one. All right. Now, that video that we just saw was made several years ago, and it's now the wireless networks are already in you. The
yep.
Wireless Body Area Network. Have you ever come across this video?
No, I have not.
So what the doctors are doing, they're actually right now, your body is on a computer screen somewhere, and they can actually identify just pressure, everything. Now, what if they want to kill you? You know, I mean, this one's a pretty interesting video too. I can show a few minutes of it if you want to.
Right. Yeah, please do. Before you go, I just want to, you know, audience in particular, you know, we're worried about the Chinese social credit score system coming to the West. We should be worried about that, right? There's a lot of issues now in China going on. Seen a lot of videos that none of it's good. You're getting blackballed from the system. You become homeless overnight. Well, that's one problem, but this problem is much, much bigger. Go ahead, Sterling.
Yeah. Well, this is part of it. They've already got them surveilled like this already. They can find them anywhere. They have the death vans that come and euthanize them right in front of their houses, and then the van next to it where they cremate them.
Yep.
In this video, different architectures of wireless body area networks are discussed. A wireless body area network, WBAN, is a network of devices includes different sensors located on the surface of the body such as wearable devices, which include smartwatch, insulin pump, or inside body implanted medical devices such as pacemakers, defibrillators, retinal prosthesis, etc. Three-tier WBAN architecture is the most common architecture which is used in healthcare. Tier 1 has the sensors including dental sensors, retinal prosthesis, pulmonary sensor, pacemaker, respiration sensor, liver sensor, orthopedic implant, pressure sensor, etc. This tier is known as the intra-WBAN tier, where all the communications happen within the WBAN. Tier 2 has external communication gateways such as a mobile phone or a Wi-Fi router connected to the internet.
Wow.
There may be one WBAN communicating with another WBAN, and this is called the inter-WBAN tier, but still categorized under Tier 2. The communication between the gateways and end users is categorized as Tier 3, commonly known as the Beyond WBAN tier. Cloud computing lies between Tiers 2 and 3. The nature of the WBAN and the type of data vary from application to application. The WBAN can be directly connected to the cloud or may use multi-hop method or software-defined network architectures are alternatives for the hard-configured WBAN architectures. Thanks for watching. Please keep watching for...
Now, did you see the biomedical engineers looking at your body?
Yeah, I've been an advisor and consultant on cybersecurity for the last 15 years. And first thing comes to mind is like, okay, you know, there are literally hacks going on every day, ransomware attacks every day. I keep files on this stuff, and it's incredible. So to think if your computers and mainframes and your corporation networks are not safe, what's to prevent a hacker? So even if the government was benign and benevolent, what if a hacker got into your body? Forget about it, right?
I have a video on that in here.
Keep going. This is really okay. Fascinating.
In this video,
Let me get to it. So what is in your body? If people want to take my share, my slides, they have to email me at private@mthofoursupport.com.
I'll leave that link in the show notes. Keep going, Sterling.
Yeah. So I'll have file days worldwide in here. And then I also have David Icke with La Quinta Columna in here too. Really, really two good videos for you to watch to see what's going on. Because now everything that I've just showed you, let me tell you, these things aren't running on batteries. That these devices they're putting in you, they're stealing your protein, your piezo protein. And when that you start feeling sick, when that piezo protein, that's called sensor sickness, sensor illness. And we take the Braille technology and this stuff won the Nobel Prize in 2021. We put it back on people with these patches, which is wonderful.
Great.
Now, graphene boosts gigahertz signals into terahertz territory. Now, for the first time, a team of researchers, two of whom are supported by the EU-funded project EUCOL, have proved that graphene is actually able to convert electronic signals into signals in a terahertz range with trillions of cycles per second. The team's findings are presented in a study published in the Journal of Nature. And I have that study in here if anybody wants to see it. So basically, so the graphene, you get the gigahertz coming in from the cell phone or the smart meter or the routers or the 5G, or the vaccinated person, which I call is a walking 5G tower. And they come in and they can come in and hit you with gigahertz and you have this graphene in you. And then it jumps off the graphene and amplifies into terahertz, which are deadly millimeter waves. And it starts stealing that piezoelectric out of the body and where it should be. And then you have all these open places. People don't understand your biofilm, your aura, your soul. It protects your body from infiltration and even from nefarious infiltration, whether you call them aliens or demons, it protects your body from that as well.
Yep.
So nanotechnology with graphene nanotubes, they can hijack your body by putting in ransomware in it and killing you if you do not pay. This is the one, James, that you know you just mentioned, and I have. Here we go. You ready, set, go.
Yep. Play the whole video.
Hacking humans with technology may sound like a concept from a futuristic science novel or movie, but the truth is, it's not that far off, and it could be the next big cyber threat. How so? Keep watching and find out. Nanotech, a recap. Nanotechnology is any technological endeavor that deals with anything with a dimension of fewer than 100 nanometers. While the concept was first brought to light in the late 1950s, it wasn't until the late 1980s that technology advanced enough to actually allow scientists to work in such a small field. Nanotechnology has several applications, including food, technology, fuels, batteries, environmental causes, chemical sensors, and even sporting goods. The medical field is one of the most exciting for nanotechnology at the moment, though most developments are still in the experimental phase. With these developments comes the ever-present technological risk of hacking. Nanotech in humans. Building new muscle with carbon nanotubes is one such possibility. Scientists at IBM are also working on using nanotechnology to analyze DNA in just minutes, instead of weeks, to treat cancer patients with a customized treatment plan. We're also seeing the use of nanotech in chemotherapy or vaccines to target specific types of cells in the body, where experimental nanosponges are being tested to absorb toxins in the body. Nanotech is also being explored as an early diagnostic tool to detect cancers and infectious diseases long before our current technology is able. Some ideas include a tiny device that gets injected into the body as a sensor or a medical delivery device. This all sounds positive, but there's a downside too. Is it secure? Tiny nano devices are typically controlled by a program on a traditional electronic device like a computer, smartphone, or server, meaning they could be very hackable. Some digital security experts posit that a single nanoparticle in the body with its own processor could be hacked. But they also say that if someone had more than one particle in the body, which many treatments would require, a hacker could theoretically turn them into a network in the body, using the body's own systems to communicate and do their bidding. One of the most obvious and dangerous applications for biomedical hacking is ransomware. If a hacker took over your inner nanotechnology devices, they could demand a ransom with fatal consequences. If you're unable or unwilling to pay, they could easily turn your body against you, and at the very least make you suffer or get sick, if not kill you. It may also be possible for unsavory characters to use nanotechnology itself against their enemies, not only in hacking attacks such as inhalable particulate powders to treat lungs. Some worry this technology could be an easily weaponized delivery method for bioterrorism efforts beyond the hacking dangers. Getting infected with something could be as simple as breathing the air, taking a shower, or getting a regular vaccination from your doctor. Mitigating the risks. The most powerful thing that needs to happen to lessen the risk of hacking with nanotechnology is legislation to regulate the types and strength of security required on nanomedical devices, and even the function of devices that will be allowed. Medical device manufacturers who wish to ensure that their devices are not likely to get hacked should do proper penetration testing. Though this area is still in its infancy, we can use the term nanomedical technology, nanomedical hacking, and others that truly describe what it is until something else comes along. The term biohacking sounds like the perfect term to describe hacking medical technology, but it actually refers to do-it-yourself biology. This is a self-improvement technique that uses diet, exercise, and mental techniques to hack the body to improve mood, health, and overall life satisfaction. Neobiology may suffice, as it generally refers to any new advance in biological technology. Nanotechnology and medical device hacking would certainly fall under this umbrella, but the umbrella is very large. Lastly, it could also fall under the Internet of Things label, but this is a broad term, so it doesn't exactly define it. Risk realism. Has there been a true case of medical device hacking? The answer at this point is not clear, but there have certainly been crippling hacks of medical centers. At this point, the risk seems to be mostly theoretical, though it's just a matter of time before black hat hackers pick up on what white hat hackers have been researching and trying to prevent. Some experts believe it's only a matter of time before something fatal happens involving the hacking of a medical device, and that only then will medical providers and legislators take this issue seriously. As mentioned before, penetration testing is one of the best ways to find vulnerabilities in medical devices and ensure that your products are as secure as possible. Alpine Security offers a full range of penetration testing, including in the medical field. If you'd like to be on this cutting-edge field of security and technology, inquire within on our site. And if you enjoyed this video, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Alpine.
James, I think you should get him on your show.
Yeah, Alpine Security has been around. I've been going to cloud computing conferences since 2011, and they've been there. So they've been in business for quite some time. So, yeah, I agree with you, Sterling. I think it'd be interesting to really get into the subject because this is the game changer. This is the days of Noah, correct?
Correct. They've already got it in us. They've already got the nanotech in us.
Yep.
All right, hold on. Let me get to the next slide. So, nanomedicine, it isn't coming. It is here. And here is military. This is a very short military video.
Yep.
It's called Nano Nuggets. And this was the cancer therapies that they were giving people that passed phase one and phase two trials, but failed phase three. And actually gave a particular man 3.5 years out after getting this nanoscience in him, 3 strokes, a heart attack, artificial intestines, and an artificial heart valve, a very young man.
Wow, crazy.
Here we go. Listen to these nano nuggets.
Nanotechnology opens the door to revolutionary new medicines, nanomedicines. For example, future nanotechnologies could allow a medicine to be safely transported through the body just to the targeted tissue and cell types of interest, ignoring and bypassing other cell types. Once it targets cell, the nanomedicine can enter it and deliver new types of treatments, including genes, that can program those cells to follow the instructions of a doctor. For example, in my lab, we've designed a way to deliver a suicide gene to brain cancer cells in rats to make only the cancer cells die.
Wow.
What do you think about that one, James?
Yeah, that's a fantastic voyage, except I'm not buying it, right? They go targeted area. First of all, as Dr. Robert Young has said, if you keep your body in pH, high alkalinity, right, not acid, cancer has no medium for growth. And people need to understand, God has given us everything. We do not need nanotechnology to prevent cancer. We just need real nutrition, sunshine, exercise, and a good pH in our body. Go ahead, Sterling.
Yeah. So, all right. So Cas9 is the CRISPR. They call it Cas9.
Yep.
But they also have the RNA. They call it Cas13. And what is very dangerous about this, and this was made several years ago because they actually have this in you now, especially if you've had the vaccine. So, the CRISPR, what they can do is go cut the DNA, and then the Cas13, they can go cut the RNA.
Wow.
What they found is when they went into, this was made around 2019, and this lady was telling you how dangerous it was that they have went in. And when they cut the P53 gene to try to take out the bad P53s that cause cancer, they actually cut out all the good genes because they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, I would never
and
trust.
This is how they right. cause turbo cancer.
Of course, cause turbo cancer. And we all know about that now since 2021. Go ahead and play it.
With all the hubbub about CRISPR in the news, it may feel like using it to pick your kid's eye color is just around the corner. But this seemingly miraculous gene editing technology may not actually be as simple or as safe as we thought. Just so we're all on the same page, CRISPR, or more accurately, CRISPR-Cas9, works by cutting the DNA of a cell at a designated spot, say a section of DNA that represents a certain gene. Then, when the cell tries to repair the damaged DNA, it often ends up just disabling the gene altogether. This has all kinds of uses. Maybe we want to turn off a gene that produces too much of a certain protein. CRISPR can do that. Say we want to see what a certain gene even does. CRISPR can help us do that too. Ever since it was first used to edit living cells in 2013, CRISPR has been touted as a promising technology for treating inherited disorders, cancer, and other diseases with no current treatment options. Teams of researchers around the globe had even hoped to begin human trials in 2018. But none of those trials have taken place yet. With the exception of China, where researchers have been working with CRISPR in humans since 2016, but no results from these trials have been published so far. And in the US, the FDA just placed a clinical hold on the first proposed gene editing human trial. But why? Several new studies released in the last few months suggest that we need to be more cautious when editing the human genome. Two of these studies found that when CRISPR performs its hallmark trick and cuts DNA, that damage can kill the cell or make it stop growing. CRISPR modifications are also less likely to kill cells that have a defective version of a gene called P53. P53 plays a role in preventing the onset of cancer by regulating a cell's life cycle. So by leaving more of the defective cells alive than healthy ones, CRISPR may be inadvertently raising the risk of cancer in that patient, which is like the opposite of the goal. And we haven't even gotten to the most recent study that raises concerns. Up until now, CRISPR-Cas9's cutting function has been accurate in the specific area of interest, the spot in the DNA that's supposed to be cut. But that's because researchers were only looking for mutations caused by CRISPR in the immediate vicinity of the cut. New research reveals that in about 20% of cells, CRISPR results in much larger deletions than we thought, up to more than 100 base pairs. Researchers didn't notice this before because they were looking for harmful mutations and didn't see any, but that's because the entire region was gone. In CRISPR treatments that would target billions of cells inside the human body, this could lead to, again, a risk of cancer, putting us right back at square one. So the human trials have been delayed. Where do we go from here? CRISPR permanently alters your genome, so we want to make sure we get it right before we make moves in real human bodies. Well, science marches on. New and improved versions of this kind of technology are already racing forward, like a genetic editing tool called Repair, which uses a different cutting enzyme, Cas13. Repair works with RNA instead of DNA to make temporary or reversible changes. There's also a newly engineered protein that can alter individual base pairs rather than a whole chunk of DNA, acting more like surgical forceps than a pair of kitchen scissors. So continued progress and exciting breakthroughs in this field are still happening. We're not at the end of our CRISPR rope yet. It's just that we need to take a step back from the hype and carefully analyze what's really going to be safe as we move forward. To stay current with all the CRISPR news that's sure to be plentiful in the coming years, subscribe to Seeker. And for more on how your body, specifically your immune system, interacts with the technology, check out this video from Julian. And fun fact, CRISPR doesn't just present possibilities in human biology. It could be used to genetically engineer crops too. I'm Marin. Thanks for watching Seeker.
How about that one, James?
Yeah, incredible. So the reason why, in my opinion, China hasn't published any studies because they simply were killing their own patients or giving them cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
So no good news. They're not going to publish anything. That's basically my belief. And that was that's 8 years ago. So it gives you an idea of they're not there yet at all. I don't trust anything now from big medicine, big pharma, big government, big health, big hospital. I don't trust any of it. None of it. I don't care about the science. You know, as a little kid, you thought all this science is cool, like wearing a smartwatch, right? Like, you know, you grew up with that stuff, and then you realize, no, that's not good for you at all because of the EMF on your body. So this is very eye-opening, Sterling, that we're already here, but they're not quite there yet. We have some time, and we got to change this.
Yeah, we have to change it. It's really, you know, hard. So, you know, we have something also called PMFC.
Yeah.
It's a proton exchange membrane fuel cells, also known as polymer electrolyte membrane fuel cells. The proton exchange membrane fuel cells are being accepted as a promising power source for automotive, stationary, and portable applications due to their higher power densities compared to other fuel cell types. The heart of the PEMFC system is the membrane electrodes assembly, consisting of a proton conducting membrane with a node and a cathode catalyst layers and gas diffusion layers in contact with each of these CLs. Now, this is these are the cathode catalyst layers. Now, this right here, these are other different types of battery sources that they're fuel cells that they're trying to put into the human body. Yep. I've got a Wikipedia source on the proton exchange membrane fuel cell. And what they do is where they get the fuel from is from your piezoelectric. And that's why, you know, I like to promote the super patch because this Braille technology just kind of restores and rebalances your piezo protein where it should be in the body. And it actually rides up to your skin cells, nerve receptors in your skin cells, go to the Braille and goes to the back of the brain and says, hey, no, we're not letting these mood chips come and take everything. We're restoring it. We're taking it back from them, and we're putting it back where it belongs. Braille
So,
technology,
yeah,
please.
we're basically got 3 minutes left in the show. Can you come? I'll come at us. All right. I'm gonna have links for everybody in the show notes. Number one, I'll have your email address so people can ask for this incredible PowerPoint deck. Sterling, it's just amazing how far a lot of their technology is. The depopulation plan. The good news is, they haven't even gotten the Fed coin out. They haven't gotten the CBDC out in Europe, right? They're years behind schedule, years. That is the good news, right? That's the good news. But we're this close from a major issue, right?
We're very, very close from a major issue. The rest of the slideshow, if you ever want me back on, I can show you the rest of putting it in parts, the rest of the slideshow. It's amazing. I'll also share the deck with you too. And you can use it anytime you want, James, because there's a lot of, you see, I put a lot of good stuff in here and a lot of good research. What
Yep.
I want people to know is that please, I'm not a hog and I'm not stingy, because we have got to save people. We've got to make them aware of what's going on. If you want my slideshow, ask for it, because this is not about me and oh, whatever. I want it to get out to the public, because this is about, I don't think we're going to be able to help many of the people on the left. But we need to take care of our people that are awake. We need to protect them.
Yeah,
We do.
I'm with you 100%, and we'll bring it
We're
back.
family.
I understand that. We'll bring it back in early April for the second half of the slideshow. Real quick, in a minute, talk to the audience about the different patches. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have different patches. I don't know if you guys can see my screen, but right here, this is Ignite. We have studies on every one of them. This is just Braille technology that won a Nobel Prize. For instance, this Ignite right here can actually raise your metabolic rate by up to about 30%. We have
Wow.
people that on average lose 7 pounds a month that are overweight, just without even changing their diet, just putting on one of these Ignites every 24 hours. Freedom reduces inflammation. We've had people with complex regional pain syndrome that have basically, we're going to get amputation from, the nerves burning and stuff. And they put on this and they reduce their inflammation and their nerve pain, the freedom. All the other patches you can just put on your arm wherever. The freedom you want as closest as you can to the place that's hurting. Then we have Victory. This one gives you a lot of when you're out mowing the lawn or you want to take a jog or a run. I love using the Victory because I have lots of acres. Then we have Liberty. This is the Bag Master patch. This one actually we can see, I can't say diseases, but we can see tremor reduction by about 30% in certain people within 2 to 3 minutes. We do have MRIs showing that the glucose metabolism on the brain after 3 minutes of wearing this, putting them back under the MRI, they have perfect glucose metabolism on the brain.
Wow.
This one right here, focus, focus. I've got focus on Lumi for your skin. You've got endothelial on the outside, you have epithelial for your gut, and also to help with blood flow. Okay. Look
Yep.
at all you have at long haulers who lost their head because their ischemic vessels are clotting up full of fibrinogen and everything. This helps with blood flow. Then we have Defend. Defend helps with the immune system. Also, after putting under dark field microscopy, 20 to 30 minutes after wearing this, we see the blood is no longer clumping and the red blood cells are actually moving. We actually have real research. Every one of these have been studied, peer-reviewed, third-party research.
And we're going to have a
Joy.
link in the show notes for everyone. I'll have several links in the show. I'll have her email address, link to the overall website, link to the shop, and people can take a look at the different patches. They're not that expensive. I think it's better than taking pharma pills. That is for sure, in my opinion. Sterling, great to have you. Thank you very much. We will see you shortly. I'll bring it back in April for the second half of your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you so much, James. You have a beautiful day.